John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. This is the New World Report with my colleagues, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Bogota, in Bogota of the Colombia Legislature, and Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Costa Rica, a country I know very little about except for what I read. However, I learn that it is badly damaged by the virus. It's been obliged to take a large loan from the IMF. And driving this is what you'd have to say is a successful or at least non-turbulent social welfare state where everyone receives or did receive a pension beforehand. There were generous bonuses for people to marry, to have children. However, all of that is now challenged by the virus, by the vaccine, by the damage to the economy. Joseph, I begin with you. The reason I became interested in Costa Rica is that Maria has taught me, and you have helped me to understand, the pathway of the migrants coming from the New World can be to Colombia, to Panama, and then across Costa Rica to Nicaragua, across Nicaragua to Guatemala, and then into Mexico and on to the United States. I didn't puzzle about Costa Rica other than to learn that the Costa Rican authorities meet the migrants at the border, handed to them by the Panamanian Border Patrol, and then bus them across Costa Rica. But this recent reporting of Costa Rica says that Costa Rica is now in financial straits because of the virus. It has an election in 10 months. Is Costa Rica vulnerable to populism, to the destabilizing of the governments of South America?
Yes, John, all the countries in Latin America are vulnerable to a populist socialist wave. So Costa Rica is no different in that regard. And as you mentioned, economically, it's arguably maybe one of the worst hit countries because it heavily relies on tourism as a big part of its GDP. I believe it's 7-8% of its GDP is on tourism. And obviously tourism is one of the industries that's been hardest hit by the virus. Hotel chains, restaurant chains, all that's been severely impacted. Now, the virus itself wasn't really the worst case in Costa Rica. I believe there's still around 3,000 deaths. So it's a country of about 5 million people, so it's not completely out of hand. Even if you adjust it per capita, it's still under 600 per 1 million. But nonetheless, the economic effects are very big. And this is a country also, Costa Rica, that relies heavily on public debt. So a lot, they have a lot of public services. You were mentioning the pensions. They also have a lot of public education. I think it's about 70% is on public education. So that's why they had to take that big IMF loan. So this is concerning. I mean, much like the rest of the region that's been facing these economic challenges in a post-COVID environment. But I think going to your first point on the migration flows. Now, we don't generally see Costa Ricans leaving the country and fleeing to other countries. They're usually a transit country. So there's migrants that either come from South America or they come from far east Africa, Middle East or wherever and pass through Costa Rica. But that's something that has been of concern for the Costa Rican authorities. I actually remember a conversation I had maybe a few months ago, maybe like 6 or 7 months ago with some Costa Rican authorities. And they were telling me that they were concerned about this phenomenon of, you know, what the Homeland Security has called SIAs, these special interest aliens, because they're worried that Costa Rica could be the target of terrorist networks, being that it's a U.S. ally, being that it's weak economically, being that it has a lot of public infrastructure that's vulnerable. And they were worried because they don't know, they don't have a handle on all these migrants, especially these SIAs that are passing through these territory. They come undocumented. They come from countries that Costa Rica doesn't have a tremendous diplomatic presence, such as in Africa or the Middle East or South Asia. And so they rely on U.S. and other countries to give them a better sense of who's passing through their country. So they're concerned about that. And if you combine that with the economic effects, this is a problem that could turn out to be a little bit more challenging for a country that's very small and usually doesn't face these type of threats.
Senator, I've learned in conversation with a colleague of mine who's in La Darien, the southernmost province of Panama, that the Border Patrol says 7,000 migrants have come through the Darien Gap heading north to Mexico in the last 3 months. Is there an effort in Bogota, because they're using Colombia as a transition to the Panama north to Costa Rica route, is there a consideration in Colombia to stop this flow, to interrupt this flow, or is it impossible to stop the people coming from Haiti, from Cuba, from Congo, from Nepal?
I'm not aware of any effort that the Colombian government did or in the past has done. I understand that it's very difficult to stop and return people because if they come from Cuba, they argue they need an asylum. And sometimes they don't ask asylum in Colombia because they are expecting to get it in the U.S. There are people from Haiti. There are people from Africa that they are getting here since more than 7 years ago, but it has been the numbers have increased. And the path is always the same, and they stop over before they get to the Darien. And as I told in this program before, sometimes it's a human tragedy because they don't have food, so people have to assist them. So there's no, you don't see like the Red Cross, or you don't see ACNUR at all. You don't see a refugee camp. You don't see much effort to stop or to help, either or.
Joseph, just checking here. What I've learned is that Colombia is seen as welcoming to people from other parts of South America, and the senator just indicated from the Caribbean and from Africa as well. So this is, it's not the major focus right now. That's the Northern Triangle. But it occurs to me, Joseph, that this route is open.
You're correct, John. And not only is this route open, but the infrastructure is rapidly developing. And you would go back, if you would go back 10 or 15 years ago, to be able to pass from Colombia to Panama through the Darien Gap would have been quite difficult. It still is difficult, but it's increasingly easier because there's infrastructure being built, both logistical infrastructure and physical infrastructure, to both move migrants and also take care of them, shelter, house, feed, and all that. So there's a string of logistical infrastructure that's being built that extends from South America through Central America into Mexico and then obviously up to the U.S. border. And that infrastructure, even inadvertently even, is attracting more migrants, because if migrants know that they're going to be able to be moved through this route and they're going to be generally taken care of, it's going to attract more migrants. And as the world becomes more chaotic and unstable, this is, becomes a quite attractive destination to be able to escape the chaos of the country you're coming from. And then it doesn't include Latin America, it includes the world.
This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.